I know people that honestly do not have a lot of relationships because they have been let down by others. So they just figured the best way for me to deal with this life is for me to keep myself closed off and keep myself from having any deep relationships. In the end, they're the losers. Because if you don't have anybody in your life, this life is hard to get through. We have been on this journey of discipleship, and we've started this 40 days of prayer. And one of the things that I recognize is that a lot of people know about prayer. They've heard people talk about prayer, but some of us do not know how to pray. When I was a little kid, my mom and dad would come to our room and they would have us say our prayers. And they would sometimes correct us when we were praying. Sometimes we would pray over at meals, but our house, we prayed all the time. But even growing up, knowing how to pray and praying all the time, I had to learn how to pray. And what started me on this journey was a friend of mine who had been dealing with alcoholism for a long time. And it was crushing him. And it got to the point that I had to turn my back on him. Was the most difficult thing I had ever done, turning my back on somebody I cared about. But I told him I would not participate in his alcoholism anymore and that I was no longer going to be a help to him. So what did he do? He moved to Gainesville and he called me in Gainesville and he said, "Neil, I'm going to kill myself." And I had talked to some people and they said, "Neil, whatever you do, you cannot rescue this man again." And I said, "Well, Bill, tell me where you are so after you kill yourself, you won't be sitting there for days and somebody has to find you and your body stink." And he cussed me and he said, "What kind of man of God would do that to me?" And I told him it was a man of God that would not rescue him, but I loved him and I wanted what was best for him. And for days I did not hear from him. And for days my gut churned, wondering whether or not he killed himself or he was okay, whether or not the words I said put him over the edge. And 2 weeks later, I got a call from him, and he was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I asked him, "What are you doing in Charlotte, North Carolina?" And you need to understand, this man has lost his job. He has lost his wife. He has lost his child. He has lost his family. And I was the only friend he had, and he lost me. So when he called me from Charlotte, North Carolina, I wanted to know, "What are you doing in Charlotte, North Carolina?" He says, "Neil," and he was a really big computer geek, and he says, "I went online and I found the best place for mental health in all of the United States that would take me, and it's in Charlotte, North Carolina." And I said, "Well, that's awesome." I said, "Bill, while you're there, you need to do everything they tell you." He says, "That's why I'm calling you, Neil. Because they tell me I have to pray 3 times a day by myself." And I said, "Bill, if they tell you you have to pray standing on your head 3 times a day, do it." He says, "Neil, that's not the problem. I'm going to do whatever they ask. The problem is, I don't know how to pray." And that started me on a journey of helping teach people how to pray. You see, there's a lot of people that will bow their heads before God, even in a worship service, or do it over a meal. And it's kind of like we've got these words, you know, "Bless this food, bless us. And you know, God is great, God is good. Let's have something to eat," you know, that kind of thing. But we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to make that connection with God. And while you're going through this 40 days of prayer, you may even be going through the ABCs, but what I want for you is more than just going through the routine. what I want for you out of these 40 days is I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to grow in your relationship with God. We've been talking about this idea of discipleship, and the idea of discipleship is your relationship with God and your relationships with others. And at the end of our days, if we don't have the right relationship with God and we don't have the right relationship with others, we are a failure. It doesn't matter how much money we make. It doesn't matter what kind of degrees we have on the wall. It doesn't matter what kind of home we live in. It doesn't matter what kind of car we drive. At the end of our days, if we're not in the right relationship with God and we're not in the right relationship with others, we are a failure. And one thing I know about you folks is none of you in here are going to be failures as long as I'm your preacher. Because I want you to have those right relationships. You see, God in heaven created you for a relationship with Him. He didn't create you so you could go on fabulous vacations. He didn't create you so you could enjoy all the things that He gives us to enjoy. God gave us those things to enjoy, but He created you for a specific purpose, and that is your relationship with Him and your relationship with others. And your relationship with others begins with that relationship with Him. And until you learn how to pray, you'll never have that relationship. I'll never forget one Wednesday night, I was teaching a class and I was talking about the relationship with Jesus and how to have that relationship. And this woman looked at me and she raised her hand and she says, "Neil, this is such good stuff." She said, "Because for years I've had a relationship with the church. I've had a relationship with the preacher. I've had a relationship with the elders, but I have never had a relationship with God." And the way to start that relationship begins with being obedient to Him, and it goes from there to learning how to pray. And for prayer for some folks, it's not easy. It's not something that comes natural. I grew up doing it. It comes natural. But what prayer really is this focused time that you're alone with God, communicating with God. And prayer is more than just saying things. It's listening to God as you speak to Him. He will speak to what's going on in your heart. But you've got to know how to pray. And the very first thing that I want you to look at is that the disciples went to Jesus. These were people that were around Jesus. These were people that knew the law. These are the people that grew up in good Jewish homes. And they look at Jesus and they say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." So there's nothing wrong if you don't know how to pray. The disciples didn't know how to pray. And Jesus gave us this sample prayer, and He started off with it by these words. He says, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" And that's what I want to focus on today, because I don't want you to go out of here and not understanding the first part of this prayer, because if you're going to be praying for the next 40 days with us, you're going to be a part of that. You're going to need to know how to address God to begin with. And I was talking to my friend and I said, "You know, I don't really know how to teach you how to pray, but let me explain to you how I do it. I have a conversation with God." He says, "That's weird, Neil." He says, "How do you do that?" And he says, I can just imagine God being up in heaven looking down on me and all that. And I said, "Pretend He's sitting next to you." And eventually, you'll come to understand that He is sitting next to you. How can I get this across? Jesus said, "When you begin your prayers, say, 'Father.'" Learn to call Him Father. Learn to call Him Father. That is such a foreign thing, and I've watched people wrestle with this idea, because the idea comes from the word Abba, which is what Jewish people called their daddy. It would be pretty much similar to what we would do when we say, "Hey, daddy, daddy, daddy." And I wrestle with this because it's such a familiar term. But it is a term that God wants us to use. He wants us to be familiar with Him. He wants us to call Him Father. I was watching CSI several years ago, and Ziva was one of the characters on there, and her father was shot and killed. And it was a very intense moment, and as I'm watching it, Ziva runs to her dad and says, "Abba, Abba." And it struck me then, the personal relationship that God wants us to have with Him. Well, how in the world can we call Him Father? We can't call Him Father if, number one, we don't know Him. If we don't know God, then we can't call Him Father. I have known of people without knowing them. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this while I was preparing my sermon today. We took some kids over to Sunquest one year, and they just happened to have an NBA Mothers Conference. Now, I don't know why NBA mothers need to meet, but they were having a conference. I didn't pay too much attention to it. But as I'm standing in the lobby, I'm talking to a bunch of teenagers, and all of a sudden, Shaquille O'Neal walks out of the room, and he walks right towards me. He had a bodyguard that was about this high. And the only thing I could think of is that Shaq would take him by the collar if he needed to keep somebody from getting to him, would grab that bodyguard and pull him around like a shield. Because that man's enormous. And he walked by, and I'm just kind of starstruck, like, wow, that's Shaquille O'Neal. And he comes by, and I nod my head to him, and he says, "How you doing?" And I said, "Fine." And one of the kids looked at me and said, "Do you know him?" And I said, "That's Shaquille O'Neal." And they went nuts. And the word spread everywhere, and I was blocking kids from going into the bathroom where he was. But see, I know of Shaquille O'Neal, but I don't know him. And a lot of you may know God. You know of God. You've heard stories about God, but you don't know Him. And when you pray, if you want to truly say, "Father," you've got to know Him. Letter B, you need to submit to Him. I want so bad to submit to God in every area of my life. But I got to tell you, it is so hard. You know, sometimes when He says love one another, you guys make it really difficult. Have you ever noticed that with some people? We got some members of the church here that the EGR members, the extra grace required members, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because that's who you are. But there are people that you run into from time to time that just rub that last nerve the wrong way, and God says, "I want you to love them. They're your brothers and sisters." And the only time I can really call Him Father is when I submit to me, when I submit to Him. When I was a kid, my dad was a very authoritarian dad. That's not easy for me to say. I just brushed my teeth. Can't do a thing with him. But, I mean, he ruled with an iron fist. And, I mean, we got spanked quite often. But when I became a teenager, I wanted to test my mettle a little bit. And there was a church party that was going on, some kind of get-together, and he wanted me to go. And I told him I did not want to go. And he said, "No, I really want you to go." And I said, "Dad, I am not going to that party. There are a bunch of duds there, and I don't want to be a part of it." And he looked at me with a stern face and put his finger out towards me and said, "Neil, you're going to go, and you're going to have a good time." And not to be outdone, I looked at him. I said, "I may go, but I'm not having a good time." You see, a lot of us, when it comes to God's Word, we may be doing it because we know we've got to do it, but we're not doing it with joy, and we're not doing it because we love Him. So we've got to know Him, we've got to submit to Him, and then we've got to rely on Him. We have to rely on Him. We so many times we want to rely on others. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how happy you are in your marriage or how happy you are with your friends, sometime or another, your friends, your spouse, people are going to let you down. I know people that honestly do not have a lot of relationships because they have been let down by others. So they just figured the best way for me to deal with this life is for me to keep myself closed off and keep myself from having any deep relationships. In the end, they're the losers, because if you don't have anybody in your life, this life is hard to get through. And I'm here to tell you, you need people in your life, and that's important, but you can't always rely on people. And the other thing we do is we try to rely on ourselves. Amen? I'm going to make this happen. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. That was my phrase for a long time. I am going to rely on myself for everything. I've got people around me. I've got people that will help me, but it's really going to be up to me, and I am going to go through this life by myself. I'm not going to let anybody let me down, but the reality of it is, if I were to kick the person that caused me the most trouble all the time, I would not be able to sit down for a week. Because I am broken and I am human, and I know everyone in here can relate to this, but have you done something stupid and you thought to yourself, why in the world did I do that? And if you haven't ever done that, something's wrong with you. We are all broken. We all have that. So the only person we can rely on is God Himself. And when we call Him Father, we are saying, we rely on You. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The second thing you need to remember is you need to remember God's holiness. I have wrestled with this idea of calling God Father and the idea of Abba, because I know of the connection that it makes with the Jewish people in terms of their own father, but I don't call my father Father. I don't go up to Father. I call Him Dad. And so I wrestle with this because God says, call Me Father. And in the Greek text, it's kind of like, call Me Dad. And I wrestle with this. And I have to stop, because I have heard people in their prayers trying to be close to God say, God, Daddy, here's what I need from You. And what we've got to understand is He wants us to have that intimate relationship with Him, but we cannot ever forget His holiness. We've got to remember that He is a holy God, and we have no place at all except through the blood of Jesus Christ to come before His throne. And when we do, we need to have reverence for Him. We need to have that reverence for Him. It says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, He's talking about God's holiness when His Spirit filled the temple. It says, they were calling one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. I would have loved to have been at that temple that day to see what Isaiah saw. I wasn't there, but one of the things that always strikes me about that moment is that everybody in the temple was crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And one of the things that I want you to get today is there's not an attribute of God anywhere in the Bible that is mentioned three times except for holy, holy, holy. And we come before a God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth, who holds the power of the sea and the power of the storm in His hand. And we need to recognize who we're in front of. So we've got this balance of intimate knowledge and His holiness when we come before God. When you say, "Hallowed be thy name," letter A, you are trusting in God's holiness. When you say, "Father, holy be your name," or "hallowed be your name," you're saying, "I'm trusting in God's holiness." Psalms chapter 26 and verse 7, Psalms 20 and verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord," or "the Lord our God." And one of the things, I'd like to translate that a little bit different today. Some of us trust in our bank accounts, and some of us trust in our abilities to make money or to do things, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Second thing, when you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you are saying, "I'm submitting to God's holiness. I'm submitting to God's holiness." Every instance of the Bible where somebody came in contact with an angel, or when came in contact with a messenger of the Lord or the Lord Himself, every single contact, there was a submission that took place right away. It was either bowing down to the ground or worshiping. And no matter what happens, when you see God as a holy God, you're going to submit to Him. You may not submit to Him because you don't see Him that way, but when you start seeing Him that way, you know what is interesting to me? Is there so many people in this world that call themselves Christians, but yet they want to make God who they want God to be? You know, when it comes to worship, I think sometimes that we have changed worship to please ourselves and not to please God. I think sometimes when we choose a church, we don't choose a church as a place where we can worship and serve God. We choose it because of the preacher or the song leader or somebody else that we know there. And that may be a good reason to start, but the real reason that we are a part of the church is not because the song leader is awesome. It's not because the preacher is amazing. Thank you very much. It is because we are here to serve a holy God. And in doing so, it won't matter whether the song service is perfect or if the preacher is imperfect or anything else, because we are not here for those two people. We are here because of God and what He's done for us. Letter C, when we say, "Hallowed be thy name," you are trying to live in God's holiness. I'm trying to live in God's holiness by saying, "Hallowed be thy name." That's what we're doing. We're saying, "I'm going to live in your holiness." We are submitting to God, and we are saying, "I'm going to live in God's holiness." 1 John chapter 17 and verse 6 says, "I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." The third thing you've got to remember when you are praying, and this is something I've been teaching for years, especially to men who are leading public service, but I teach people so many times when it comes to prayer, we just start off saying, "God, this is what I need. This is what we need. We're going to have to, will you help this person? Will you take care of this?" The very first thing you need to do when you pray is you need to praise Him. You need to praise Him. I have found over the years, the more time I spend praising God, the less my problems become. And I think one of the things, you know, we were talking in our communion service about first world problems. And I was laughing about that because we have a lot of first world problems. I bought Nancy a vacuum cleaner. It's one of those little robot vacuum cleaners. Actually, it was my birthday present. Nancy told me that's what I wanted for my birthday. And I agreed with her. It sounded like a great idea. And this little robot, she can program, tell it what room to vacuum, all that. It is amazing. Now, it doesn't take care of everything, but it does a pretty decent job. And she was complaining about the fact that you have to look at the robot when it's not doing anything. First world problem. Here's my point. When we start thinking about the things that are going on in the world, it may be that you're in the political scene and you're in the big divide that's going on in America now and you're watching all that. It may be that you're dealing with some stuff financially. You've always got more month than you have money. It may very well be you got some issues with your marriage, or it may be that you got some issues with your kids or issues with some other people. When you spend time praising God, all of those issues, they don't go away, but they're put in the right perspective. Look at what I got in your sermon notes. Letter A, praise is the pathway into God's presence. Praise is the pathway into God's presence. Now, that's one of the things that I want you to understand. When we come in here on Sunday morning, we don't sing songs just because we need to sing songs. I know there's some other people in here. I'm not a very good singer. I make a very good joyful noise. That's about all I can do. As a matter of fact, I've really been enjoying being up here by myself. Y'all think, well, does Neil have something wrong with him? He's up here all by himself. No. But I have enjoyed it because, you know, I don't have to worry about embarrassing myself next to anybody. And I can just sing out. And I watch Jason and I try to keep up with him. I try to do what he's doing and I'm trying to read the music and all that. And I am so bad at all of that. But I know this, when I praise God with my heart, through song or through prayer, I come into the presence of the Lord Almighty. And when you come in here on Sunday morning and you're running late and you're missing the first few songs or you're not really prepared for worship, it takes you a good 3 or 4 songs before you're in the moment. And you're starting to praise God, and the next thing you know, we're saying amen, and the service is over, and you haven't gotten into the presence of God. We come together to be in the presence of God together, and the way we do that is through praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14 says, "The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments. They raised their voices in praise to God and sang, 'He is good, His love endures forever.' Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." Letter B is praise is a response to God's blessings. I know some of you thought that was pretty cheesy, that, hey, let's go through the alphabet and get the different letters and talk about what we're praying for. And some of you probably thought that was cheesy. There had been a time I would have thought that was cheesy. But one of the things when I was doing it myself is first of all, I was thinking about what would some of you have to say. And I if you were here Wednesday night, you had the best laugh of your life. And I'm not going to tell you what happened. You're going to have to go watch it if it's online. But it was amazing some of the things the teenagers came up with. Well, one thing in particular they came up with. They came up with E, they came up with, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you because it's too funny not to tell you. They came up with euthanasia. And I'm like, what? How in the world? And then they said, well, Shaq was confused too. So he said, well, can you explain this? And they said, well, you know, if you have a pet you love and it gets sick and you don't want it to suffer, you can put it in. Oh, that makes sense. And then there's people like John Love. He gets the letter N and he doesn't think of Nancy. He thinks of Neil. which I'm thankful for in a lot of ways. But how, in doing that exercise, and we got today and tomorrow to continue to do it, in doing that exercise, you start thinking of all the ways God has blessed you. Count your many blessings. Name them letter by letter. Should have been a song. Praise is a response to God's blessing. Letter C, praise refocuses my perspective. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I did just a minute ago. When I start praising God, all of the problems, all the things that are going on around me seem less significant. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that are torn up about the political situation in this world, and I am not happy about it either. I think the country's headed in a bad direction. But you know what? When I spend my time praising God and not worrying about what the country's doing, my life is so much better. And I'm going to tell you right now, for those of you who watch too much CNN or Fox News or whatever it is you watch, if you'd spend as much time praying, you wouldn't be so upset all the time. Amen. Letter D, praise releases the power of God. It says, "You are awesome, O God. In your sanctuary, the God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." When you want more power in your life and when you want to get through what you're going through, praise God and He will give you the power to get through it. Now, last page, really quick, because we're running out of time. I want to make sure you beat the Baptist to lunch. So here we go. My praise needs to be, letter P, it needs to be personal. Don't mimic what you've heard other people say. For the longest time, I just mimicked the prayers of others. Because especially in public, because I thought, well, they must be doing it right. They've asked them to do it again. So I'm going to listen to what he says, and I'm going to say it his way. But I got to tell you this. The guy that I love to hear the pray the most, and I wish he would come back and become a member here, is a guy that is an ex-NFL player that came to know Jesus later in life. He was Catholic when he was growing up, came to know Jesus later in life. And I got to tell you, that guy, when he prays, it's like he's talking to God as though he's on the front seat. And I'm going to tell you, too, for most people, when they listen to him, it just doesn't always make sense, and it's not very professional the way he prays. But the thing I get about him praying is I know he's talking to God. And he's talking to God for me. It needs to be personal. Letter R, it needs to be reverent. It needs to be reverent. You need to have a worshipful, humble heart when you come before God. It doesn't need to be glib. And I know there's times where, you know, I'm in a bind and I just say, God, help me. You know what I need right now, help me. And sometimes when I'm dealing with somebody and I'm talking to them about something serious, I don't know what to say. And I'll just say, Lord, keep my mouth shut so I don't embarrass myself. And if I need to say something, put it on my heart. You need to come to God with letter A, appreciative. And that's full of gratitude towards God. And that's the reason why the first 7 days we did Thanksgiving, not just because it was a holiday, but because we as a nation, we as a church need to be thankful. The letter I, it needs to be illuminating. It teaches me about God and myself. You see, when you see God for who He is and you see yourself for who you are going to be able to praise God. And then it needs to be sincere, which is honest and meaningful. It needs to be enthusiastic, which is energetic and refreshing. I can't tell you how many times I sat down and I praised God, and when I sat down to praise God, it was like, oh, I feel like the weight of the world is on me. But when you really praise God and you do it energetically, you will finish your prayer refreshed. You want to feel like you've got more energy. You want to feel like you've got more to give to the rest of the world. Let God fill you up while you praise Him. Amen. I hope this has been helpful today. And prayer is something that is a lifetime journey. You don't just learn to pray and you get it down. You learn to pray differently as you mature in Christ. When I was younger, I prayed a lot for the things that I needed. Now that I'm older, I'm praying more for other people. But I'm not praying for them to have good health and wealth. I'm praying for people to be drawn to God in a deeper way. I'm praying for a church to be more loving in their attitudes toward others. And I'm praying for those that I know that are lost to see the value of walking with God the rest of their life. We sing an invitation song each week, and we sing that invitation song so that you can respond to the Lord's invitation in some way. It may be that you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're saying, you know what, I need to pray more. I need to spend more time alone with God. Well, make that decision as we sing that song as how you're going to do that. And it may very well be that you're in the audience today and you're hearing this and you're thinking about a relationship that you need to fix with somebody. Don't leave here and not fix that relationship. Maybe you're here and you've been a member of the Lord's church for a while, but your faith has gotten cold or maybe even weak. And because of the lesson today, you're thinking, I need to strengthen my faith. I need to renew my commitment to God. And you can do that both publicly and privately. Or you might be here and you've never made that decision to live for the Lord by putting Him on in baptism and coming up a new person. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?